Welcome to the United Pentecostal Church of Paris, Texas. Who's excited to be here in the house of the Lord this morning?
Yes, hallelujah.
Who is excited? You could stand up. I'm not going to waste much of your time. We're going to get into what we came here to do. And that is to glorify the King of Kings, to glorify the Lord of Lords, and to make the decision. Now, I don't know what you came in struggling with today. I don't know what you expect to happen Monday morning, but I know what to expect right now, which is that we're going to turn our eyes to heaven. We're going to lift our eyes to heaven. We're going to say, no matter what my circumstance, no matter what the world says, no matter what is going on this Sunday morning, I'm choosing today that I'm praising the Lord. I'm choosing today that I'm lifting my hands. I'm choosing today that I'm not going anywhere but forward. I'm not going anywhere but towards God. So we can begin to clap our hands, to lift our hands, to glorify the King of Kings, to usher in the presence of the only one who is able to save, the only one who is able to restore. God, move in this place. In Jesus' name.
Struggle for survival. to do what you're in the middle of doing, God. You're in the middle of making a way. Yes, yes, God. There's no one like you. There's no one like you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Let's lift our voices, lift our hands to heaven. Let's cry out to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He will answer every need that you have today. He's a way maker. He's a soul shaker. I'm talking about Jesus. Let's worship him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Overhead. I want to pray for Mrs. Epperson, Charles and Velma Whitley, Jeff Duncan. Keep the Nell Thompson family in mind. Brittany Wise, Singh Hood, Rodney and Pam Pollard, Chris Ferris. Sister Farmy, good to see her here. Prissy Clark, pray for her. She's been diagnosed with cancer. Keep Geraldine Osmus in mind and Justin Swain. Due to man's fall in the garden, there's one thing that God does not own. He does not control it because of that sin of Adam and Eve. We're all paying for that. God owns everything. He controls everything. And he created you and me. He knows the number of hair that's on your head this morning. He can give. He can take away ownership of anything, even your possessions. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns those hills that they roam on. God owns it all. But there's one thing that God cannot have without you giving it to him. That being your heart. And he cries out in Proverbs 23 and 26, "My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my way." One question to you. Does God have your heart this morning? Remember, you have control of your heart. You have control of your soul's destiny this morning. And this morning, if you're here and you have a need in your heart, if there's something lacking, I invite you to come down around these altars and leave it here and go back home shouting victory because you have given God all your heart. Let's lift our hands. If you have a need, come forward.
For your word. Oh God, I bless your name. I pray that you would move in this place. God, you are still moving. You're still working it all out. Oh, we bless your name. You are worthy. You are worthy, God. All who will believe,
Before we woke up this morning, before we walked into this house, before we were ever even born, He was worthy of our praise. Tithes and our offering, so you may be seated for a moment. And we're going to, as we're seated, as the ushers come, we have some announcements that we'll make you aware of. That we have tonight at 6 p.m. is Youth Sunday, and so it's always a phenomenal service that you don't want to miss. It's youth led, but it's not just for the youth. And so it's for God's kingdom. It's for God's children. So you're a youth of God. I don't care if you're 104. You are a youth to us, and we want you here. And that will be at 6 p.m. And then on the 23rd, Tuesday night, is going to be our church business meeting. And then on the 28th will be our mission pledge is going to be due. On the 29th is the Ladies United Fellowship. It's going to be at Bratcher's Nursery, and Sister Amanda Little will be speaking, and that's going to be a great time. Sign-up sheet is in the foyer. Make sure, ladies, if you are interested in that, that you go and sign up to let them know who all is coming. And then our Mother's Memorial Pledge Card, if you have gotten one of those, the offering is due July 1st. Simply just fill out the card, place it in the offering plate, and if you want to sponsor also a foreign Bible school student, it's $200 to do that. Just please make the note on the pledge card, and you're able to do that. And so we're going to take our tithes and our offering and move further into worship today. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for what you have done. Let us move further into what you are wanting to do. Bless what's given, bless the giver, and anoint the word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Committed to happenings of God in their daily life, in the culture around them that needs the glory of God. And it is a thrill to know that your next breath is God. God, who is our life, is the way the book says it. So you're never alone if you're breathing. It's a signal to you of creative, invisible power. Inside of his life, where you move into from just what we call general life, the life of the Spirit. And that is where the Spirit begins to help empower. Then the bread of life is the Word of God that creates paths and energy levels. So the more we align ourselves with his bread that contains all of the healing and the visual of how to take care of life. And so we call it the Holy Bible because it is totally pure. Then we move into a spiritual arena called the Holy Ghost, and then the Holy Word of God. And so holiness is not just a term. Discipline is what we utilize from the power to turn the steering wheel, put the brakes on, or put the accelerator pedal to the metal for some of y'all. And so in that, we enjoy the uniqueness of all of the things that go on. Homes abide by that kind of structure. Hearts, minds abide by that kind of structure. And the more that we discipline ourselves to integrate with the power of God, then the more glory or victory we experience in life. And so it's a whole lot more than just going to a doctor. It's letting the doctor work on you. Boy, those cold hands on tender spots are tough. I see some of y'all froze last time you went. When they come in there and tell you to take all of your clothes off and put this little gown on it, you don't even have a zipper. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. But when you go to the Lord, lifting up holy hands, or making yourself vulnerable to his word, his way, into his future. And so as we move through life, we grow in grace and in knowledge. Bible said the thief cometh not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. He said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them from them all. And his ministers are the policemen on, off, on, off. You ever seen those little red lights do that? On, off. Oh my God, I think we're getting pulled over. We expect it when we're violating. We expect collisions when we get on the wrong side of the road. We expect deficits when we turn our attention to other things and ride off into the ditch. Life is just basic all the way across the board. And the spiritual arena the more we align ourselves with the law of the Spirit and the path of God, the Word, the more safe we live, the more beauty we experience, and we call it holy people of the King. And so holiness is not just, you can't dress yourself into holiness. Now you can dress yourself out of it. You can't talk your life into holiness, but you can talk your life out of it. And so as a father to a church group, it is essential that the spiritual leader learn continually the management process, because evil men shall wax worse and worse, and the knowledge in the world increases, he said. So if we're going to stay ahead of the world and not let the world overflow into our world, we're going to have to separate ourselves unto Him, the highest power. We have tried to do it externally, but you cannot produce peace by dressing like a Christian. But you will love dressing like a Christian when you have the peace that passes understanding. You will enjoy defraying to go to places that would take away from the virtues of life. It is exciting for a few minutes to lie. I practiced that when I was a kid. It never did work out real good. Dad and mother they just could figure it out. You just can't lie yourself out of Christianity or into Christianity. Lying to ourselves is the worst thing that we could do. I'm saved. Saved from what? Saved into what? Those are critical issues. You say, Pastor, you're coming down hard. No, no, no. I am getting you free. Because as we move into His way, His truth, His Spirit, His glory, and His future, we begin to practice so that rapture is a natural. That's the Spirit of the Lord. And as we give way to it, according to our thought patterns, our treatment of neighbors, and treatment of our own body. That's the reason we've created disciplines and standards through the years. But what did happen is too often we tried to get everybody there real quick, and they felt awkward. There's not a kid that can put on a mother's dress and not feel awkward. It just don't fit. My dad's belt, he thought it fit me at particular times. And it worked. I got to where I really wanted to obey Him. And so the Lord comes through with this. He said, He chasteneth whom He loveth. And if He doesn't chasten you, you're a bastard. That's straight out of His book. An illegitimate Christian. So the chastening of the Lord seems horrendous. You just need Jesus. And that's the Word. You just need the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of truth. And when those compilations, life of Christ and the Word of Christ, meet, there is a synchronization between the head, the heart, the hands, and the voice. Could we praise him again for giving us such a future as he is giving to us? Father, it's not hard to praise you today. It is a wonderful privilege to be a part of the world plan that you have contrived and created. Create in us a clean heart today. Create in us a right spirit today. And may the word of the Lord lead us into all truth, that we would be so free, we would not worry at night. We would not worry about all that's happening in the political arena. We would just be ready for what you've got planned. In Jesus' name. Could we clap our hands to him? I cannot thank you enough for a place to live, a place to have a burden and passion, and a place that in that burden and passion, I have been forced to grow. I have been forced to do it because God will not let me and will not let us survive well until we come together, and you have helped provide so many things, and thank you. I'd like for us to look at Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. And he starts off with just in that chapter, rather, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, when you look into the study of the arm of the Lord, it's his ability to reach you. That arm of the Lord is the, from his heart into your heart, the arm or the connection to lift you or to help you. For he shall grow up as a... He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. In other words, the ground itself could not furnish what was about to happen with this phenomenon. As a root out of a dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. I can hardly read this without just tearing up to think that that's what he is doing for us daily. Acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we, and when we're looking at we here, you're talking about the general human nature or family. We esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, and even in that we did esteem him stricken or lacking, smitten of God, afflicted. But he, and you want to catch this, we've read it before many times over, but he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on, not us, him, the iniquity of us all. And so that flesh body that was allowed to be put on a cross, every time you think of him, you think of that cross. Then you go from there to an empty grave. And from there, right here. And here we sit in his presence. And what he asks of us, cleanse your hands, cleanse your hearts. Turn to me, and I will take you where you really want to go. Could we just praise him just sort of softly? Thank you, Father. Intently, thank you for letting us meet each other. Men, women, boys, and girls, that we look to you every day. We praise you every day. We gladly honor your request of how to live, how to communicate every day. It is awesome to sit in your presence today with my brothers and sisters and to know that as a body of believers that we are going to shake the powers of hell this coming week. Could we praise him with a hand clap of praise? I'm going to do this lesson quite a bit different than I typically do. I'm not going to have a PowerPoint today. I'm going to be quite a bit slower. I put it as much of my brain on paper as I dared because I really believe he is coming back, Brother Griffith. Thank you for your studies. Thank you for your penetrating voice of what God's got planned. You don't have a better or greater deal than trading your life for his. To repent of our life is to change the order of our life. Acts 2:38 is promoted readily across the world as what it really is. It's the entrance into the kingdom life. But repentance just simply means change. It is actually a 180 from darkness into light. Well, that's not just talking in tongues. That is, when you get to 1 Corinthians 13 and you get to some other areas, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. In other words, there is no rhythm to healings and miracles and peace and joy and just always overcoming. And so that whole philosophy that is a heavenly truth and a wonderful path, the word of the Lord is the path. And to get off of the path has limitations to having the Holy Ghost. Because the Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth. That's what the Bible tells you us that it is for. It's not about to be able to brag that I talk in a heavenly language. He comes to that in 1 Corinthians and he said, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and don't have charity or love, I am a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Ladies and gentlemen, The revival that God is about to send on this earth is so phenomenal, but it is also a dangerous thing to fall into the hands of a living God or a setting like that and not be able to be a part of it. I have a tough time when I see everybody over there eating a good sandwich and mine's rotten. Now, I don't even really have seen that in a long, long, long time. When I was in the service, I think I saw a few of those corrupt moments. But the real truth is, it'd be hard to enjoy a partial discipline and not be able to enjoy the completeness of the plan. I want us to be such a light that when he looks down, he sees himself in each one of us. He hears in each one of us what he would be saying if he were here personally. But he's not going to be here personally, so I'm going to send you into the dark. And you shall be my light. And you shall be the observation of people. And when they see you, they will see me. And when they see me in you, they are going to create in themselves a desire to make whatever change. Because that's what happened to us. We got sick and tired of lying and cheating and, you know, all kind of lust and all kind of things that we gave ourselves to. And so he said, come out of that. Come out of the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. I am a holy God, and I am not going to have anything that has contamination trying to use my name to get all of my power. I am going to send angels, ministers, ministering spirits, and ministers physically to preach the word, because I want you to enjoy life on earth, victory, and I want you to be ready when the trump of God sounds. And if you happen to go to the grave with the Holy Ghost and holiness, then don't worry. You'll be the first ones to get out. That's pretty cool stuff. God is on our side now. He has got angels monitoring our heart now as to our appetite now. Brother Griffith, that idea about the heart was just great. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here today to salute the Lord in praise, worship, adoration. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. I am your God. I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. I am your God that healeth thee. I am your God that forgives all thy trespasses. I am your bread that strengthens your heart. I am your spirit that strengthens your entire being. I am your God, and I want you to serve me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you will never come up short. You will have days when you're facing Goliaths, and the one stone that will kill Goliath is the name of the Lord that is a strong tower, and the righteous shall run into it and are be safe. Ladies and gentlemen, I am here to tell us that entire book includes miracle after miracle and problem after problem. He allowed us. Think it not strange, he said, concerning the fiery trials. They're coming to try you, to see if you have fitted yourself into a heavenly country. That's the critical issue. Cleanse your hearts, not your hands. Cleanse your hearts, not your hands. Study so that your mind is filled with the bread of true life. Hunger and thirst after and righteousness and peace and joy. Well, you eat the bread, and guess what happens? The focus of the Spirit begins to combine the energies of the heavenlies, the ones that keep the spirits that keep the sun in place, the spirits that keep the wind in place, the spirits that keep all of the things. God, who is our life, He is your next breath. And He wants honor for that alone. I created you in my image because I wanted you to have the sophistication that rises superior to fish and to ants and to ticks and all the other little things. But I have met some people that are nothing but a tick to me. You know how many years it took me, and y'all look. There are ticks are aggravating. A little bitty ant can make miserable the evening. You're out for a cookout, and you're on the back porch, and you got your shoes off because you're casual, and all of a sudden something gets between your big toe and the next one. And it's an ant. And one little ant can ruin several minutes if you leave him there long enough. And one little thing that gets us off course of holy living, the Word, the Spirit, and loving our neighbor and loving God. Get off course of that, and the first thing you know, you limp along. And that's when you begin to say things, I don't even know if God loves me. I'll tell you how to find out. Just turn to Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength and tell Him, I'm ready to change my place. In this world, I want to live with you. And you'll sense how fast He will forgive, how fast He will come to your heart. How fast he's been watching for you to open the door. He said, I'm knocking on your door. I'm trying to get into your world. I want into your head. I want into your hands. I want into your feet. I want into everything about you because I want you to look like me and be able to do what I have done, and that's conquer every trial. So he said, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trials. They have come forth to try you to see where you're at in this whole scheme. Worry, fear, all of that junk that's going on in our world. Holy is the Lord. And when God is operating this cranium and these hands and these feet, you know without a question, whether we live or whether we die, we are His. And it's His decision on what time we die and His decision on looking. His eyes are looking, roving. He wants to go to your house this evening, and He wants to see what your real excitement is all about. Go into His house ought to be something that ought to be one of the greatest thrills in the world. Because the washing of the water by the Word cleanses all of those little fears and doubts and does things that are powerful to what we would call ticks and red bugs and flies and all the irritants of life. How many times have people gone through a whole day irritated? Great peace have they that love the Lord, and nothing shall by any means offend them. Why in the world are the children of God suffering severities when the peace of God that passes understanding and the victory of the Lord that is measured by the resurrection and the victory of the Word of God in our lives that gets us out of personal condemnation? So he said, I came not to condemn. I just came to turn a light on. I just came so that somehow, walking through this myriad of weird stuff going on, I am the light of the world, and it come unto me, and I will make you over again, and I will make you fishers of men. What do you mean? I will make you such a light and such a glory and such victory and such superlatives that when people look at you, they say, my God, where in the world is he eating his bread? Where in the world is he getting all that energy? Where in the world is he getting all that joy? Where in the world is he getting all that peace? I happen to know that he just lost a son in a car wreck. And in the middle of that, he had tears. Yes, he had tears. But he knew that that boy, hallelujah, had a loving dad and a loving mother and a loving friend. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a revival that Joel said is going to come to pass in the last days. If it were told you, I would not be able to discern it and give you the credibility all of a sudden. But in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit and on all flesh. I don't want to miss it. I don't want the United Pentecostal Church of Paris, Texas to go down and say, my God, we missed that thing. I'm telling you, the charismatics and others, they are willing to change this, that, and the other. Ladies and gentlemen, it's high time for us to make whatever change we got to make to be able to honor the Lord and say, God, it doesn't make any difference. I'm going to be holy. I'm going to dress right. I'm going to love my neighbor. I'm going to love my sinners. I'm going to love everybody. You did that for me, and I'm about to give a revival to this city. I wish some of you men would stand up and pledge yourself in worship right now. We are going to have one of the greatest revivals in America. We are going to have one of the greatest revivals in the world. I don't want the foreigners. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give. And it shall be given, pressed down, running over, full of good measure. That's not an offering thing by itself. But how many times did that's what you hear when somebody gets ready to take an offering? The real offering is you on his altar. Sacrificing your flesh to your soul and its glory. The whole idea of an altar in churches through the years has been that I gladly come to the altar to make sure there is not one spot or wrinkle in my spiritual, truthful nature. Because that's what he deals with it in that level. Spot or wrinkle. That's where doubt lives. That's where condemnation lives. That's where lack of spiritual expertise lives. But holy is where God has control and guides the heart, the mind, to furnish a world with peace and joy and righteousness. Ever lost something extremely valuable? Oh, well, I might get another one. Just $1 million, so. I have looked for a dollar by times because it was significant to what I had planned. So despise not the day of small things. I've been at a counter when I needed 20 cents to finish being able to pay out. Am I living in reality or what? Ladies and gentlemen, he's a real God. It's not some fictitious little deal like they put on TV. No. This is a real God. He's your next breath. And he said, I want honor from every breath you breathe. That's why in years gone by, we have absolutely preached very strong on slang usage of vocabulary. Why we don't curse and use vulgar words. We don't even damn the cat. No, we do not swear because of a God that's now in control of this temple. Holy, cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh. And cleanse yourself from the lust of the eye. And cleanse yourself. Bless God, I'm apostolic, I'm tongue-talking, and I dress holy, and the rest of you are going straight to hell. This is no day for getting close to the edge. This is the hour in which the children of God are turning to the Word of God, an anchor of the soul. It is so tornadic out there. You never know what's going to come out in the political world anymore. We are all dissatisfied and trying to function a little bit with who to vote on for the next leader of our country. I'm not comfortable with either one. I am praying that God will do whatever He's got to do with any whoever get in, and that we somehow, as the church or the body of Christ, rise up to give our country and to give our city and to give our neighbor a quality lifestyle, so that when they look over the fence and see the light of the world already in my neighborhood, they say, man, where in the world are you getting all that peace? Where in the world are you getting all that joy? Where in the world are you getting all that strength? Where in the world are you getting all that ability to get this done and that done, and never having to swear, and never have to lie, and never have to cheat, and never have to dress like a this, that, and the other. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the salt of the earth. And if we're going to salt the earth, wherewith is the savor? I am preaching today because you put God money into this assembly. That's God money. I don't think for one minute that's Robert Myers. When I go to buy something, I understand that's God money. That is not just a privilege. I have watched people murder the Word of God and just take it straight out of the Scripture and say, well, you know, that's not really necessary. What? Not necessary? That's like telling him, you're not necessary, because in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word is God. And the fact that we have not taken advantage of it doesn't lessen its virtue. Aligning yourself, that's why the book says it so clearly. Obedience is better than sacrifice. It'd be better for you to obey the Word than it would be to give $1,000 for a missionary. Because loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself is the foundational issue of having the power of the Holy Ghost to function in an operable, powerful, glorious, holy way. I'm sorry that too many of us preachers thought, first of all, that if you dress people, they would just automatically get a heart that was pure. No, you get the heart pure, you want to dress right. You get the hands clean. You want to not touch the unclean thing. No. It's a desire. And that's why it says through desire a man separateth himself and leaves the world and then intermeddleth unto all wisdom. Well, who is all wisdom? The creator of the universe, the God Almighty that was in Christ Jesus. God was in Christ reconciling the world to his wonderful plan, truth. Ladies and gentlemen, he's not worried about the name on the outside of the church. He's worried about the name and its honor in the head and the heart of men. That's why we baptize in the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Because you haven't had the name until you use Jesus Christ. Being baptized in the titles is no more than getting a title in your car and you never put anything but Father, Son, and Husband. I can promise you, you cannot cash a check by putting a title. And you cannot scare hell without a name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. He is Lord. He is the mighty God. He is the counselor. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the joy of life. He is the victory of life. There is none like him. There's none beside him. He alone is God. He can cripple. He can walk over water and he can walk over mountains. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. And he's coming in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And I want a big church full of people that's looking up. Because in a moment, it's going to happen. Musician, would you come? I've gotten about 5 sentences done, and I've got 3 more pages. But he won't corrupt. But I want to close it with this. Riding down the road a couple days ago, and I was talking to him about some of this. Boy, did he really come. He said, I've tried to put it in a perspective that the church is my bride. And he said, I see people that attend churches all over America that do a little bit, some quite a bit. He just sort of walked me down it. But he said, what really breaks my heart is when mothers and dads, preachers, evangelists, teachers have to scare people, torment them with death and bad stuff. And he said, how do you think it makes me feel that somebody can't just tell them it's so wonderful being a part of Jesus? Now, you know you're going to hell if you don't go be with Jesus. Now, you know you're going to suffer a lot of privations if you don't walk with Jesus. Your marriage is liable to fall apart if you don't go with Jesus. What kind of means does he think when you got to use that kind of language instead of saying, you know what? I'll tell you about my relationship with Jesus. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Now a little light from heaven fills my soul. He wrote my name above Instead of saying, now let me tell you, you got to understand, you got to go talk in tongues at the Holy Ghost church. You know that. And when you get the Holy Ghost, you know, everything's going to be kosher. No. Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. You see that beautiful lady over there in the yellow? Gave me a wife that's so beautiful, so caring. Gave me some kids. See that Corbin over there? Part of my world. Wonderful. Oh, and look at his dad over there. Look at Brother Jerry Newberry over here. What a benefit. Let me tell you where he used to be. But God so loved the world. Brother Jerry, your testimony has affected so many of us. I can't thank you enough for honoring the King in front of people. What you mean to Jesus, you mean to the world. Because I once was lost in sin. But what do you think it makes Jesus feel like to try to tell him, you know, if you don't do this and you don't do that, you're not going. Instead of saying, let me tell you, because he said, you shall be witnesses, not judges. Witnesses. Let me tell you what he did for me. Let me tell you what he did for one of my sisters. What he's doing in their family. That's what Jesus and the Holy Ghost really means. But the enemy would love to get us in a rush when the Bible says God hath long patience for the harvest. Hey, come to find out about it. What a great guy. That old heart. It's got plenty of room to work, don't it? But nobody tried to force you, and I don't think you would have been very responsive to somebody trying to force you, knowing what I know about you. But wasn't it wonderful? Somebody reached their hand out. Said, Todd, we love you. Just as you are. And I would like to invite you to a King that has no limitations on his love for his lookalikes. And you look like him. And he wants you to partner with him. He wants you to be his bride. Now, most of us men don't like that idea. We like the idea of being a man. But the word bride fits his body of believers on the earth. He would never have given the Apostle Paul, the head of the house, to be a boss. He gave him what he was, leadership. Follow me, and I will make you. Because the more you follow, the more you will see. And the more you see, the hungrier you're going to get. And the hungrier you're going to get, you're going to study the bread of life. And you're going to understand that slice and that slice coming out of four witnesses, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then you're going to see the phenomenon, go ahead, thank you, of the church age. And they did just what's happening in America right now. Read 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians all over again and see what was happening that made those books so imperative and important that we could look at history and realize how so many got off on this course and so many got off on that course. He didn't put that in there just to be mystical. He put that in there to show us Titus, Timothy, and all of those, the allegiance of the ministry, the allegiance to God Almighty, those the book of Philemon, those things, they're not in there just to be there. They are not in there just to what we call tickle our ears or our mind. They are there to help us to understand this great God, none like him, none beside him. I have about 5 more pages that I wrote all night long just about.
What I know is he's about to come. What I heard him say to me during the last 3 days, he is coming. But that's not to scare you. That's to make you aware. You don't have to have a fear at all. All you got to do is be afraid of yourself. And that is that you will not follow him. All you have to do is turn your eyes upon him. And then cleanse your heart. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit, when you get it, it is a compass for your brain. It is a compass for what will help your family. It is a compass for what will help your job setting. It is a compass for what will help your world and your nation. And could we stand? And I'd like for us to praise him just for our next breath, because that's what he said. And you're honoring him, not Robert Meyer. I'm just his emissary. This altar's open if you don't have the Holy Ghost. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, this is a great day. There is a spiritual outpouring in this house right now. If you want to come down and travail for somebody, that'd be another good reason to slip up to his altar. The enemy has done a real good job of getting us to rush through life. Rush to more flesh stuff. Rush to things that are not our eternal value. Yes, I am preaching to us. You deserve to know the truth, because the truth is what's going to make you a light to your children, to your neighbor, to your friends. Ye are the light of the world. We dare not put a globe over our light. Sing it, would you? Thank you.
No reservation. I'll give you.